afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, August 7th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, it's a typical Monday morning, a little bit to the quiet side. You have record-breaking numbers in the paper markets, but that's becoming normal.
So we expect that.
Yeah, that's just becoming normal. So we have gold today, a little pressure on gold, not bad considering, 160 to the downside at 1258. Silver was down 2 cents today at 1631. Platinum was positive, up $3 at 971, and palladium was up big, $10 at $885, just a little over 1%. Let's take a peek at the USDX today. We have that trading weaker by 5.05, that is, at 93.44. And we have crude oil today down 0.23 at 49.35. And the paper markets today, we had the Dow up 25 points at 22,118. The NASDAQ was up 32 at 6,383. The S&P is up 4 at 2,480. 10-year yield, 2.26. Not a lot of change there, down 0.01. And the Europe was up a few, 0.08 at 118. European markets, Japan, Hong Kong, London were all positive, less than a quarter percent. Well, Japan and Hong Kong were up about a half a percent. London was up about a quarter percent. Germany was bound down about a third percent. And let's just go take a peek. What emotion is driving the market? I think of Friday, it was 59, bumped up to about 63. So,
using what emotion, Melody? Is it love, hate,
it's
fear, greed, or just sheer
greed,
aggravation?
Greed.
I'm thinking aggravation.
Well, that's if you ask the gold buyers. People,
well, that's
understand.
If you're using a computer.
That
sometimes
is really frustrating. And yes, and computers are also frustrating. And it's just everything is speed, 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 speed. And then when we don't get the speed and we think it should be done, it's just computers. I know everybody.
I think they're
wants
one of the main reasons that so many people are doing drugs, Melody. That's why they can't get jobs anymore. Because they've been doing computers, they've been driving them nuts, they're doing drugs, now they can't get jobs. It's just, it's a cascading effect here.
There was a report out this week, and a portfolio manager at Ranger Alternative Management. And, you know, he talks about, even though the stock markets are trading near or above record levels, but does that statistic simply mask an ominous picture that's painted behind the scenes? And this is what we talk about all the time. What's behind those scenes? And he says, as the indexes continue to produce a series of higher highs, subsurface conditions are painting an entirely different picture. He noted that the year-to-date advance in equities, the S&P 500, has been driven by outsized gains in some of the market's biggest names. We've talked about this before. In 2016, there was basically five names that pushed the S&P positive for the year. And we have technology and internet names that are doing the same thing for 2017. They have by themselves contributed more than 28% of the benchmark index's gain. And you have Boeing, Johnson & Johnson. They have also outperformed the broader market. The good performance of these large companies is masking the fact that many stocks, including REITs and those in the retail sector, have already entered a bear market territory. According to an analysis of FactSet data, 79 components of the S&P 500 are trading at least 20% below their 52-week high. That's a bear market. Because a bear market is typically defined as a 20% drop from a peak. So again, it seems on the outside that things are good. And separately, a read on a market supply and demand from Ned Davis Research that has shown weakening demand for stocks despite these major markets continuing to grind higher, while the supply metric has started to rise. Rising supply and lower demand could also indicate a waning enthusiasm for equities at current levels. So again, it's there's signs everywhere. Signs. Everywhere a sign.
I got one here from 24H Gold. Actually, Phoenix Capital is the source of this. And the headline is Machine Mania in the Marketplace: How Computers Came to Own the World. Well, that sounds like a hyperbolic headline, but nevertheless, they make some really interesting points. With 60% of stocks now being traded by bots, meaning robots, that fake each other out in order to create buying opportunities, stock exchanges have lost their connection to the reason markets are created in the first place. And the reason is to find out what a legitimate price is. I say something's worth $5. Melody says it's worth $10. Somebody else comes in and says it's $3. One way or another, if we do business, we find it is the markets are a way of finding what real prices are. It goes on and says the exchanges no longer exist as places where for people to buy and sell ownership in a corporation. They exist as the neural junctions of a conglomerated machine that plays tricks on itself, and your sole goal is no longer to invest, but to put money in the slot machine of the world's quickest trickster. Many of the people who think of themselves as investors see this pretend investing as being almost risk-free now that computers and central banks are running the racket. They put their money, meaning the would-be investors, they put their money into the machines, and the machines follow the central bank's lead, purring along at historically low levels of market volatility as the machines run their automated tasks. And what they're trying to communicate here is so much of the market is being run by computers and by computer algorithms, and it's run automatically. Right? Doesn't need any people. Just plug it in, just plug it into the wall and it'll work just fine. Go home. Take a vacation, whatever. We'll call you back in a year. All right? We don't need any people. We just have computers essentially running the markets and guaranteeing. This is what this article makes clear is that it's not just the Federal Reserve injecting money into the markets that's making the markets go up. What's actually happening, according to this argument or this article, is that the computers that are doing most of the investing on Wall Street right now have been fed algorithms that push them up and a little bit more up and a little bit more up and a little bit more up. And the guy who's got the computer across the street, his computer feeds off the first computer, goes up a little, goes up a little, goes up a little. And this is the explanation of why we keep seeing record after record after record. It's the computer algorithms that are feeding off of each other, and one goes up a little bit, the next one goes up a little bit. And they go back and forth, and they have created what would seem to be a never-ending supply of record highs. And it's going to continue, according to this article, until something happens to take this thing down. And when it does, what they think no one even knows what the computers are doing, because the computers are self-educating. They go out and they watch what happens in the market, and they are constantly adjusting their own programs. You don't even have the same program in these computers today that you had a month ago or a year ago. The program is constantly updating in ways that people do not understand. And what people are concerned out of, we wrote this article, is that in the event that the market actually does begin to go down, the computers have no background on what to do about it. All they've had is up and up and up and more, another record and another record and another record and another record, and everything stays it stays pretty calm. We've got a steady uptrend, but not much volatility. We don't have much. Why? Because the computers are constantly trading at fractions of a second and maintaining a fairly steady uptick. And the article itself, fascinating article. First time I've heard anyone explain why the markets are rising, even, and it's not just the Federal Reserve injecting money that's part of it,
but
these computers are doing it also.
Then you don't pay attention to what I say. I've been saying for 10 years, and I don't say it often enough. I believe, and it's changed, but I believe 10 plus years ago, people were sitting there inputting. Computers have to be programmed. People sitting there inputting information in order to get these positive numbers when everything else doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I do believe that that is how they do get these numbers. I differ a little bit. I agree the same way that it works to the upside is going to work to the downside.
No, it might not exactly, because what some people are speculating in this article, and this is an intelligent article. This isn't just hyperbole. This is an intelligent, insightful, well-written article. And what some people are suggesting is that no one is in control. The computers are doing this on their own, but they are doing it within limits. And if it goes, it can't go up $100 today. The particular stock, it's not going to go up $100, and I'm just using this as an example. The computers has limits. The stock can't go up $100 today. It could go up $3, okay? It might be able, and in theory, maybe it could go down $3 according to the computer.
This is
right, and they trade
have...
within that range, but the range is constantly being raised every day. Went up three yesterday.
I get that.
Well, the point is, they don't have experience at going down.
Yeah, they do. They just stop the markets. Everybody
stops trading. That's what they've done.
I mean, that's probably what he's talking about is the perfect definition of a flash crash. You will have these huge drops because there won't be any limits.
Oh, they're mysterious.
There won't
drops.
Be limits.
They don't even
so
know
what
why
they will
happens.
Do is they
them,
will they... halt trading. They will
well, they
halt
might.
Trading.
They might. But what
that's
he's saying is if these
might.
Computers start feeding off themselves, they can make things. They can do transactions in a thousandth of a second. And by the time somebody pulls the plug on the computer, they can have taken this thing down, no telling how far. And let's just suppose this thing drops by 1,000 points, flash crash, and somebody pulls the plug on the computer. What will the price be when the computer comes back up?
That's right.
Nobody knows. No one knows what it'll be.
It's not only that, even if it's not devastating, you got to make sure you're going to get your money from your broker. None of these brokers, everybody talks about banks and their stress tests and everything else, but these brokers, these financial houses, they don't have the funds to pay everybody in a situation
it's just
like
the
like
gold
that.
Market. They don't have the gold to pay off all the paper gold claims. They don't have that either. The whole thing is smoke and mirrors. I mean, it really is. You know, I can remember seeing one of the stories on Star Trek back in the 60s when I was watching Captain Kirk and the rest of them going where no man hath gone before and rest of that sort of thing. Go boldly or whatever it was. But they got in, they came to some community living on a planet that were executing their own people. They had computer simulations and our missiles, the missiles from one community on the planet were bombing the other community, and they would calculate. In fact, there were no missiles. They were just doing this on the basis of computer programs, and when the computer calculated that 218 people were killed by this particular invasion, then it was up to the people who were running the country to take 218 people and kill them. And the whole thing seemed absurd, and it was bizarre, and it was kind of a logically certain amount of cleverness to it, but it seemed you look at it and say, well, this could never happen. It's happening right now. We're doing this right now. We have computers that are making calculations that have no basis in reality. Here's one of the, it says, a minority of market experts see a market that is building cataclysmic risks as it accumulates fake pricing that has nothing to do with intrinsic value. And this is what the computers are doing. They're just running on data. If the price of something goes up a buck, okay, they went up a buck. But it has nothing to do with whether the price to earnings ratio is increased or decreased or whether the supply is up or the demand is up or any of this. All they do is follow the data. And the guys who wrote this article say the computers don't get it. There is more to investing than data. Well, all it points to is this thing. This is one of the reasons this is going to continue to go up until something reality finally intrudes and people say, wait a second, what the heck is this all about? And it has no relationship to intrinsic value. They're just prices are going up based on data and algorithms that make them go up. Mm-hmm. That's all. Price is going up today because it went up to yesterday, it went up the day before that, and it went up the day before that. Why did it go up? Because it went up the day before that. That's all. The data is driving this stuff, but real understanding and appreciation of market fundamentals, it's not there.
The ultimate fake news, fake reality, fake pricing, fake value. But you know what, Al? It doesn't seem like anybody really cares. I'll tell you what, the more people that I talk to, financial planners, they're holding their breath because they know. They know there isn't anything there. Yep. They understand the market shouldn't be trading at the levels that they're trading. They're holding their breath. But how many of these financial planners are actually going to their clients and saying, hey, you better get out of there. Let's put your money in some gold and let's sit on the sidelines or whatever. They're not instructing them. They're just telling them to just hang tight. You know, you'll be okay. It's a long-term investment. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's not even an investment. Gamble in the sense it's like claiming that you're making an investment with a slot machine. I'm going to put $5 in the slot machine and pull the lever, and I'm probably going to get $5.50 back because the computers have set the algorithm in this slot machine is set to give me 10% back every time I pull the lever. Well, that's all very nice, but it's not an investment. It's a peculiar kind of gamble. It's not. There's no reality behind this.
I know.
It's all just ones and zeros on an electronic hard drive.
My turn?
You better be quick because we only have about 40 seconds left.
Yeah, I figured that, so I'll just hold my breath till later.
No, you can't hold your breath that long.
It would probably be
3-4 minutes.
You better hope I can.
Well, you had 40 seconds.
But no, I understand it's not an investment. But the financial planners are telling the people this, so they keep their money there, so they take the fear out of it. They keep telling people to keep your money there, but they all know. All these financial planners know. Wall Street knows. Financial news programmers, the analysts, the so-called analysts, the pundits, they all know that this is going to break. But yet they continue there to just get all excited about record highs, telling people that, you know, hey, it's a brand new paradigm, right? We've heard that before. And look where it's gotten us.
It's gotten us to a commercial break, Melody. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners, Discount Gold and Silver, we got some great prices. Well, many of you took advantage of those $10 Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces. That special was a hit. The silver rounds are gone. So good job, ladies and gentlemen. But we still have some Mint State. We're still running that special with the Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces. The price on those came down just a little bit, $675 on the Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces. So 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. This morning, there was just a brief mention, Reuters out of Moscow, that Russia is aiming to cut dependence on the U.S. payment system. Russia will speed up work on reducing its dependence on U.S. payment systems and the dollar as a settling currency in response to U.S. sanctions. The IRA new agency cited Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov as saying on Monday, "We will, of course, intensify work related to import substitution, reduction of dependence on U.S. payment systems, on the dollar as a settling currency, and so on. It is becoming a vital need," he was quoted as saying. So, of course they're going to react to sanctions. They have to do something, and what better way is to cut the dependence on the U.S. payment system?
Because it's
find
the world,
another way.
It's the dollar standing. Mm-hmm. As world reserve currency and or petrodollar, mm-hmm. insofar as the world depends on dollars to do business. That's what gives the fiat dollar the appearance of value.
Right.
And if anything happens to diminish the global, the international trade's dependence on dollars, it will diminish the value of the dollar. Less people need dollars, there's less value to dollars. And again, this is... the dollar system for paying debt globally is SWIFT.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's
right.
The name of it. And what the Russians have been working on in conjunction with the other BRICS nations is they had an alternative system of their own. China's involved. I think India's involved. I don't know if all the BRICS nations are involved, but Brazil, BRICS, I don't know, South America, China, India. Who's R? What's the R stand for, Melody?
What do you think it stands? Russia.
Russia, yeah. All right. I was trying to think of something other than Russia because they were the source of this. But in any case, there is an alternative system out there. It's not big enough to collapse the dollar at this point, but you never know how it can work out. If they get it up and running, it becomes reasonably effective, and people can see some financial advantage to using a system other than the SWIFT system for the U.S. dollar. They may be able to, you know, government wants to sanction the Russians can effectively sanction the government. And this is part of what happens when the world is intertwined in this global system. You know, if you mind your own business and your borders, you controlled what happened within your borders and you didn't worry about what happened outside your borders, the world might be a little smoother. But because we are all linked to everybody else, if anybody does something stupid or extremely smart, anything, the whole system is in jeopardy because the whole thing is like a spider web and everything's connected to everything else, at least to a significant degree. And what we see, Russia says, all right, fine, you put sanctions on us, we'll take away use of the dollar and see how you like it.
And You know, 85 to 90% of the global transactions are done in the dollar. So breaking away and changing the settling for Russia, you know, it's not going to break the system immediately. I think what we're going to see is, yes, we're going to see a moving away, but I think this global trade and the fighting over bringing jobs back to this country and perhaps tariffs on various countries, I think that will increase the desires of various countries to move towards a different clearing system. So again, we know how many dollars China is holding and some other large countries economically are holding U.S. dollars. And today, the Ford Motor Company canceled its plans to build its Focus in Mexico and announced the car would be assembled in China instead. The model, the first made in China vehicle for American buyers, may become the Asian nation's biggest automotive export ever. Tesla's doing the same thing. They are eyeing Shanghai to make vehicles in China for the first time, their electric car. And so the IMF last month noted that the world economy is relying less than expected on the U.S. and U.K. and more on China, Japan, the Eurozone, and Canada. So, I mean, we're building up, and I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of changes come in this global trade. Trump clearly wants to do something about the trade shortfall with China, but it's really complicated. You have a lot of products the U.S. imports from China, but they're made by Western companies. So you could have one product and you could have five different parts of that product made by Western companies. And so how do you place a tariff on China when you have all these other parts and so forth that come to that product? So it's part of globalization. And that is, you know, it's not going to, I mean, I support Trump in this very much. We do need to bring jobs back into this country in manufacturing, but it is going to be a lot more difficult than just placing tariffs on China. And if we place tariffs on China, are we going to see a bigger move away from the U.S. dollar?
Well, what we're going to see, and the lesson in all of this is there's no telling what we're going to see. But we may see some sort of a black swan or a squadron of black swans before this is all over, because this thing is tied together in ways that no one really understands. Right? Let me pull on this rope and see what happens. Well, maybe not much will happen, or maybe it'll trigger something that everything, oh my God, what happened? You know, no one really knows what's going on, and the opportunity for retaliation. When you're going to impose sanctions on me, I'm going to retaliate by setting up an alternative system to pay our bills with something other than dollars. What does this all mean? And no one exactly knows. And even if they know what's going to happen, if I pull this rope right here, I got a rope, I'm going to pull this rope, okay, it'll tip this domino over that's over about 30 foot away from me. Okay, I can see that much. But is it going to knock another domino down? And if it does, will there be a third and a fourth and a tenth and a hundredth? How many dominoes are going to fall? If I pull the one domino down, is that going to happen all by itself? Or will there be other reactions? And my guess is there's going to be other reactions that are going to move in ways that no one really understands or can fully anticipate. We can talk about what's going to, oh, pull the rope and the domino is going to fall down. Oh, you know, you can be a genius and you can see the first consequence. But can you see the second and the third and the tenth? And if you can't, then is it a good idea to pull the rope or is it a bad idea? Should we just leave that rope alone? Got an article from the Associated Press talking about retaliation. It says North Korea vows harsh retaliation against new UN sanctions. We're just talking about Russia retaliating against the United States for U.S. sanctions on Russian economy. North Korea, they're vowing harsh retaliation against U.N. sanctions. Last week, the U.N. Security Council unanimously approved new sanctions to punish North Korea, including a ban on coal and other exports worth $1 billion. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, called the U.S.-drafted resolution the single largest economic sanctions package ever leveled against North Korea. North Korea, of course, was sanctioned as punishment for its escalating nuclear and missile programs. The ban on coal and other exports is worth $1 billion, which is a huge bite on North Korea's total exports, which are valued at $3 billion a year. In other words, this sanction is going to cost North Korea a third of its exports. North Korea vowed Monday to bolster the nuclear arsenal and launch a thousandfold revenge against the United States in response to the UN sanctions. In a statement carried by the state media, the North Korean government said the sanctions were a violent infringement of its sovereignty that was caused by a heinous U.S. plot to isolate and stifle North Korea. We see that U.S. retaliates against the North Korean retaliation. Here's one from Newsweek. U.S. prepared to launch a preventive war against North Korea, says H.R. McMaster. U.S. as the United States is preparing for all options to counter the growing threat from North Korea, including launching a preventive war. A war to stop all wars, maybe, Melody? There's nothing like war to prevent war. This is a national security advisor, according to national security advisor H.R. McMaster. This is following North Korea carrying out two tests on intercontinental ballistic missiles. And what are we at? We're talking about the United States is imposing economic sanctions on North Korea. North Korea vows retaliation. The United States is vowing retaliation against their possible retaliation and perhaps even preventive retaliation. We'll have a preventive war. We'll bomb them before they bomb us. This is evidence of this complex web that's growing under globalization, and nobody's really in control, and no one knows exactly what's going to happen when you pull that rope. Third one, Newsweek. China considering military action against India. Two combative articles published in China's state-run Global Times newspaper have raised fears of military clashes in the disputed Doklam region that lies at the junction between China, Bhutan, and India. All right, here is another black swan. What's going on? We have problems with the United States and Korea. We got problems with the United States and Russia. We have problems between India and China. Right? We have a lot of potential black swans buzzing around, and no one seems to know what's exactly going to happen. Huh? War. And I think part of the reason for this is because the United States is no longer the unipolar power in the world. All right? The United States power has been diminished because of debt. And too many promises, and we've overextended ourselves, and now we can't be the world's policeman. And without us to play that role, there are a bunch of places on this earth that used to mind their own business, kind of, because if they didn't, they were afraid the United States would jump in and bomb them into oblivion. And now those countries are beginning to say, wait a second, the United States can't bomb everybody. Now they're willing to maybe take a chance. So, you know, one place after another, and all this, when you put all this together, what it suggests is that sooner or later, someone is going to pull on the wrong rope. And all of a sudden, we're going to see dominoes flying in a fraction of a second. All right? And they're going to be crash, 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 crash. And no telling how this is going to work out or where it's going to exactly happen. But given that we're all tied together, we are vulnerable. What is one solution? Well, you look at some of this stuff. It's like we were talking about computers are calculating what the prices are on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Right? Is that real or is it an illusion? I think it's an illusion. And if it's an illusion, do you want to bet your life, your savings, whatever, on something that is just CGI, essentially? Computer-generated images, Right? That's what's going on here. Do you want to bet on that, or do you want to step back to tangible reality? Get away from the digital nonsense, the digital fiction, the digital illusion, the digital CGI, and say, look, I'm going to get hold of something tangible. I'm going to get hold of something real. Should we be doing that right now? I think we should. And of course, you know what I'm going to, you know, you need food, you need water, you need guns, you need bullets. All right? You need gold, you need silver. Something tangible. We are caught in some kind of a fictitious, illusory world, and I don't know how or when it's going to blow up, but it has to. It can't be sustained forever. Sooner or later, we're going back to reality, and when we get there, the price of gold and silver should go through the roof.
You know, you mentioned something about the we were the policemen of the world, and with our debt, we can no longer be. And you know, I thought to myself, and we put ourselves in that position through the. If you just go back to once they took us off the gold standard in the first recession that we go into, we came out of that recession by debt. We fueled even after 1987. Look what we gave China. We exported our inflation to China so we could buy the stupid, silly trinkets that they sold back to us, and enabling them to create the massive military that they have today. I mean, it's just like, this is all unfolding. You go back and it's so easy to see the steps, and yet we just all sat by.
We didn't see them at the time. They're easy to see in retrospect.
Many did.
But we have to learn. Well, many did, but not enough to make a difference.
Many did. I mean, many, many of us, the listeners, us, we saw it unfolding. I've talked to clients that they said from the 80s and the early 80s, they saw it unfolding and understanding, because they understood what happened once they took us off the gold standard. And that's what it really comes down to.
But did these consequences, did they anticipate them and understand them as adverse consequences, or were they the objective of the people who took us off the gold standard? And they say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. If we do this, there are going to be some bad consequences. Or did they say, if we do this, meaning take us off the gold standard, it'll collapse the U.S. economy? Did they do it by accident? Did they do it by intent?
Probably both.
Well, you might be right.
Probably by both.
You might be right. Some of them did it intentionally. A lot of them did it stupidly. A lot of them ignorantly. I don't know what, but we are in trouble, and significant trouble, and it's not apparent. Look out the window, and the world's still continuing to turn. The world hasn't come to an end yet, but it really does look like we're on the verge of something significant.
Yeah, I'm in a tornado warning. I'm supposed to take coverage immediately. Interesting.
Well, they mean after 20 minutes, Melody. That's when the next segment will be over. So just tell the tornado, hold off. We've got 20 minutes here, radio. We'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. If Melody is still there,
hasn't been... I got my red shoes on. I hope I don't land in Kansas.
That's what I was wondering. That's just what I was thinking. Got a little, we're not in Kansas anymore, or Maryland, or, you know, this.
Actually, the tornado is supposed to be here at 5 o'clock, so I got time to finish the show. Let's see, tornado warning for northeastern Worcester County and southeastern Maryland, which is I'm at. The hazard is tornado. This dangerous storm will be near Berlin around 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Lots of time. I've got an article from the South China Morning Post, and this is an interesting article, right? Not exactly because of what it says in the article, but it's interesting in terms of what it implies and reveals. And it says, how China's billion savers embarked on a household debt binge. Bonnie Cao, a public relations worker for an investment company, used to be a typical Chinese saver putting half of her monthly income into the bank deposit every month, right? But all that changed at the start of the year when Cao and her army officer husband decided to buy a flat in Beijing. The flat, the studio flat in downtown Beijing, emptied the country's, the couple's 400,000 yuan, that's about $60,000, life savings. And also, they also incurred a debt of 1.35 million yuan to parents, colleagues, and classmates to muster the remainder of the 35% down payment. The rest of the purchase was financed by bank loans with monthly mortgage payments of about 20,000 yuan for 30 years. What this amounts to is they bought a flat, all right, a flat, you understand, in Peking for 5 million yuan, which is equal to about $740,000. I'm thinking, do you think, do they have a Trump Tower in Peking, Melody, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm not either. It's probably not in Trump Tower. With a monthly mortgage payment of 20,000 yuan, which translates into almost $3,000 a month. Here's my point. She's a PR. The woman, the husband is an army, is a military man. The woman is a public relations specialist. They have paid $740,000, or they're in the process of paying $740,000 for a flat. This is pretty expensive. You understand? Where did they get that money? And it's not just their own savings. They only had 60,000 of their own to invest in this thing, and then they have and they had to borrow from friends and from banks and whatever. Where did they get that money? Where did they? This is interesting to me because they point out that 20 years ago. Here's a shortly after the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008 brought the global financial crisis to a peak, U.S. economists, including Harvard professor Kenneth Rogoff, began to ask how things had gone so wrong. A key finding was that the emerging markets, led by China, had saved too much, making it possible for the United States to borrow cheaply. See, the Chinese got us in trouble because they saved so much, we were able to borrow and go into debt. How about we shouldn't have gone into debt, for one thing. But they are pointing out, where is this household debt levels? They're comparing the United States and Japan to China, and they're saying, well, China, that's the speed of their debt accumulation that's more important than the actual volume. But they do make the point. I can't find it just yet. 2 decades ago. Here we go. That's lifted China's rate of private property ownership up to 89, almost 90%, according to a survey by Qingzhou's Southwestern University of Finance and Economics, among the highest in the world, and up from close to zero private property ownership 2 decades ago, and after 20 years, 90% in China own private property. All right? Now, what I'm getting to with this, we look at that, well, that's interesting, that's strange. How come somebody didn't help our country in the last 20 years? Why was it that effort was made to bring China up from zero private property ownership 20 years ago to 90% private property ownership today? That could have happened in this country. The same kind of economic advantages, people pump their money into China, and China has prospered dramatically, at least so far. We could have done the same thing. We could still do the same thing. Given the problems we have, we don't have any money. We don't have anywhere near as many problems as China had 20 years ago. And I'm wondering who is making the effort to build industry in this country to the same extent that it was built in China. The Chinese phenomenon is roughly 20 years old, maybe a little longer, maybe 30. But it could have been done here. And that's what makes this article so interesting. You sit back and say, why did the world, and especially people from the United States who have money to invest, why did they invest it in China rather than investing it in the United States? And it's not just a question of what your return on investment is, in the sense of, well, we could make an extra couple of percent on our investments in China. Well, that might be true. But in the process of investing in China, we have neglected our own country, and there's prices to be paid. You know, we were the number one dog in the whole pack 20, 30 years ago, and no one doubted that. But we let it go. We let it go for the sake of the undeveloped world. We let it go for, you know, and there were people who had ideas that were maybe politically sensible about surrendering some of our power, some of our wealth. They might have been morally sensible. But the truth of the matter is, we haven't been defeated in the sense that we've been overcome by a foreign enemy, at least not in an overt hot war. We have been defeated because we've consented. We've consented to be defeated. Not just you and me and Melody, but people in positions of power, presidents and senators and congressmen, they've helped to sell this nation down the river, and it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to happen. And they did it for the greater glory of the New World Order and the people of China or Africa or wherever. But they are not our problem, in my opinion. Our problem is the people who live in this country, and our politicians should be responsible for doing the best they can for the people who live in the United States of America. They should never have devoted energy and revenue to building up China. Not because I have any objection to China per se, but you can see they did some things that were fantastic over there. Why didn't they do things that were fantastic here? And from my perspective, that's the great implication of the article we just read about, or just reading from. Again, the South China Morning Post, how China's billion savers embarked on a household debt binge. And the article is saying, they talk about Bonnie Cao, a PR worker, blah, blah, blah. She and her husband took all of their savings and invested it in a flat in Peking. And the article says a lot of Chinese are doing the same thing because physical property is the only way to store wealth in China. I disagree with that. They also do gold, but they're still arguing physical property is the only way they think they can store wealth in China. They're now going into debt. They were saving half of their income In the United States, you're doing well if you save 10% of your income. Doing real well. Remarkable. They had to hold a parade. Here, Joe Smith, he saved 10% of his income. Hey, let's have a parade. China routinely saved 50%. Now they've gone off, according to this article, into a debt binge. What do you think that's going to mean for China? People are going into debt to buy pieces of property that are almost certainly overpriced. And if this debt folds up in China, there are going to be a lot of really angry Chinamen. Right? They're going to be hot and bothered. No telling where this is. And this is another one of those black swans. What can come of it? Let's pull on that rope and see what happens. I don't know. It's the whole thing is strange, strange, strange. Here's another one. Interesting. This is another sign of the times. Just a brief little one sentence. I think that's all I have from this article. The headline coming from KTXL Sacramento, apparently a TV station. The headline is California State University System Eliminates Math Requirement to Boost Graduation Rates. Right? This isn't the high school level. This is the college level. It says the California State University system wants students to graduate on time, which is why they decided to do away with the requirement for students to take intermediate algebra. I think this is a brilliant idea. We shouldn't have to learn mathematics in college. We shouldn't have to learn English either. All we should do is get a loan from the government to go to college for 4 years. Sit around, smoke dope, and, stop into class once in a while if it's in the afternoon, not too early in the morning. And we don't actually have to learn anything. We'll just get a degree, and we'll be smart. We'll be college graduates, and then we'll make a lot of money. I mean, this is the sort of thing where I look at this. The state university system eliminates math requirement. They didn't eliminate the Swahili requirement, if they even have one, but you catch my drift. Mathematics is important. And they're going to pass out degrees from California State University system for people who don't understand much about math. Boy, I sure want to hire them. You know, if I'm doing anything, if I had a business to run where I was employing people that had, you know, we're involved in programming, engineering, design, anything that required mathematics, first thing I'm going to look for is a graduate from the state university system in California. This is just stupid. You know, it's one of these things that they talk about new math. I think they had that back 15, 20 years ago. And it wasn't important whether you got the right answer. It was only important whether you felt good about yourself. They were working on the self-esteem of the children. They had to have good self-esteem. Didn't matter if they could add or subtract. Just matter that they felt good about themselves. That's what we're doing here again. Kids are going to get a university degree that's going to be nothing more than an eighth grade graduation certificate back when I was a kid. And somehow, maybe this is going to allegedly hold their self-esteem together right now until they find out you can't get a job if you're doing drugs or if you don't know mathematics. At least not a good job. It is simply astonishing to me that a state university system would stoop this low. And the alleged reason is to boost graduation rates, which probably means they get some special bonus from the federal government every time somebody graduates from their college. I don't know that to be true, but it's a thought that crosses my mind. So just move in, move out, collect maybe an extra fee. The faster you can move them through the college, the faster you can collect that extra money. And you look back and you say, oh, this is all going to work out. This whole system is going to hold together. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, no, I don't think it is. I mean, we really do need people who understand mathematics. This isn't an option in this world. I mean, I'm no mathematical wizard myself, but I still understand a little bit. I understand enough to get by. I can calculate a few statistics and do a few odds and ends and rest of that. Not like I have a degree in mathematics, but I appreciate it, right? And you have to have it. especially in this more technical world. I grew up at a time when you could be a ditch digger and make a halfway decent dollar. You could work physically. That's going to be phased out, or at least to a significant degree. A lot of people who can only work physical, what are they going to do when they can't do that anymore and they can't do math as well? What happens then? I think the only way they're going to be able to support themselves is they're going to have to resort to criminal acts, violence. They're going to have to rob a bank, mug somebody, deal in something illegal, run a black market. It does not. You look at this, and this is these are a couple more of the leaves in the breeze that suggest to me that you got to get ready. We all got to get ready. There's going to be a problem. This has to blow up in our face. When a state university is saying, well, we're not going to make these kids learn math because, you know, that's just a little inconvenient. We can get them to graduate faster if they don't have to take math or English. We'll get rid of English before we're done. History, we won't need that. Nobody needs history. And certainly we don't need to know anything about the law or politics. All we need to know is how to run our smartphones. That's all. You can run your smartphone. You can get a degree in, you can get a, maybe a master's degree even from a California college. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I hope you'll consider some of what I've said. It's not just a matter of doom and gloom. It's a matter of a certain amount of common sense. This can't hold together. And when it goes down, it's going to be terrible for everyone, including you, including me. Get some gold. Get some silver. I'm Alfred Addis. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.